Our lesson tonight is found in Acts chapter 10, 1 to 23, God's circumstantial guidance for a landmark ministry. The book of Acts explains the orderly and sovereignly directed progress of the kingdom message from Jews to Gentiles and from Jerusalem to Rome. Accordingly, we can learn a lot about aligning our ministry efforts with God's sovereign work from studying the early church era as it is presented in the book of Acts. Well, Acts chapter 10, 1 to 23 shows God's circumstantial guidance for the landmark ministry of Peter's evangelizing of the Gentiles. The passage thus provides invaluable insight into the ways that God uses circumstances to guide us believers in the church era. So we view the passage for our insight and application. I want to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Acts 10, 1 through 23. There was a certain man in Caesarea, which is a seacoast town, called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian, a devout man and one who revered God with all his house. He gave many alms to the people, that would be the people of Israel, and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying to him, Cornelius. When he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, my lord or sir? And he said unto him, Your prayers and your alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa, which is another seacoast town, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell you what you ought to do. Then the angel, which spoke unto Cornelius, was departed. He called to his household servants, a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all the things unto them, he sent of them to Joppa. And on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up to the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they were making ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him as had been at a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth. Wherein were all manner of four-footed animals of the earth and wild animals and creeping things and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spoke unto him again the second time, What God has cleansed, that call thou not common. This was done three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter was perplexed in himself as to what this vision that he had seen should mean, behold, the men who were sent from Cornelius made an inquiry at the Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, who was surnamed Peter, were lodging there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek you. Arise therefore and get yourself down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. And Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he who you seek. What is the cause whereof you come? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, one that reveres God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for you into his house and to hear words from you. Then Peter called them in. He lodged them. And on the next day, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren, that would be Jewish brethren from Joppa, accompanied him. Okay, God used circumstances to prepare the Gentiles Peter was to evangelize to be willing to hear him. It's interesting, God worked on both ends. He worked on Cornelius' end. He also worked on Peter's end. And this is what God often does when he wants people to come together and to meet. The Lord provided circumstantial guidance for the Gentile Cornelius, who was already a devout semi-proselyte to Judaism. He apparently lacked only circumcision. Otherwise, he would have been treated as a proselyte. Cornelius was a devout, God-fearing centurion. That's a head over 100 different soldiers who had led his household to revere the Lord. And he had given many alms of his income to the people and habitually prayed to God. So he was a devout man. However, he was still a Gentile, not a proselyte to Judaism, for he was uncircumcised. We know that because of Acts 10:45. There's a statement made about them when the Spirit of God comes upon him, and everybody's marveling that, you know, the Holy Spirit would come on uncircumcised Gentiles. Well, the Lord used the circumstantial experience of a vision of a heavenly angel to inform Cornelius that God had approved of his prayers and alms, and that he was to send to Joppa, which is south of Caesarea along the coast, send for Peter, who would inform him what God wanted him to do next. So Cornelius heeded the angel, and he sent men to Joppa to learn from Peter God's message for him. Well, God used circumstances to prepare Peter to evangelize the Gentiles that God wanted him to reach. As the messengers from Cornelius were approaching Joppa, Peter went up to the housetop of Simon the Tanner's house to pray around noon. And he became hungry, which most people do at noon. But while his meal was being prepared, he had a vision of the heavens opening up, and a great sheet was coming down to the earth with all kinds of animals, reptiles and birds. A voice from heaven commanded him to rise, kill, and eat these animals. Now Peter, remember, he's an Orthodox Hebrew who had always heeded the dietary restrictions of the law. And he cringed at this order, even from the Lord, by saying, "Surely not, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean." Now the expression "surely not" translates medamos, which is a more polite and subjective term than udamos, which means by no means. So he recognizes that God is speaking to him, that the sheet is being let down from heaven, and he's probably incredibly perplexed. How come God in heaven wants me to eat unclean animals? I've never done that. So what's going on here? Well, the voice from heaven replied, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." Now this vision occurred three times, and for Peter, the number three is big. Why? It not only emphasized the truth that was then being given, but also it reminded Peter of his past errant threefold denial of the Lord. Remember in Mark chapter 14, verses 66 to 72, Jesus had predicted that Peter would deny him three times. And Peter said, "No, Lord, I'll never do you. I'll die for you." But then he denied the Lord three times. And of course, he went out and wept bitterly. So what the Lord did, that the Lord painfully corrected him in front of the three others. See, he had sinned by denying the Lord in front of other people. So the Lord corrected him and brought him back into the fold by bringing him, correcting him publicly, which would have been painful. In John 21, 15 to 17, the Lord said, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter says, "Yes, I love you. And feed my sheep." He did it twice, but when I get the third time, you'll notice in the passage there in John 21, he was grieved because he asked him the third time, because this reminded him of his threefold denial. So three times is when the Lord is speaking to Peter, and he knows it. So this thing happens three times. And Peter had been corrected once before by the Lord with a threefold directive. And now the Lord's correcting him again. "Peter, what I've cleansed, don't you call unclean." Happens three times. So the threefold repetition of this vision to Peter would clarify and clearly signal God's intent that he give up his dietary restrictions. Now, he was already allowing himself to live in Simon the Tanner's house, where he's ceremonially unclean with the law. So he should have known better anyway. But to live in the Simon the Tanner's house is one thing, but to eat animals that you have never allowed yourself to eat because you've been under the law, that's another thing. Diet is something else. So, while he was pondering the meaning and application of this vision, in fact, the Greek says he was actually perplexed, the messengers from Cornelius' house stood before the gate of Simon the Tanner's house asking for Peter. Simultaneously, the Holy Spirit informed Peter that three men were seeking him, that he was to go down and go with them, not hesitating to do so, for the Lord had sent them. I think it's also interesting, after I prepared this lesson, I noticed that at Simon the Tanner's house is where Simon would be killing a lot of animals, and some of the animals they would be eating. So here the Lord is telling Peter, kill and eat. So there's a connection there even with Simon the Tanner's house. Well, the Holy Spirit also told him to go down. There are three men. The Lord had asked him three times, and so you got three men here. Go down. Don't hesitate. I've sent them. So Peter went down from the rooftop. He met these men who were then told him about the vision that Cornelius, a devout follower of God, had seen regarding Peter in hearing the message. Well, realizing that the vision of the unclean animals applied to the Gentiles whom God wanted him to meet and evangelize, because these are Gentile men, Peter yielded to God's will. He invited the Gentiles into the home, which is a big step. Normally, you're not supposed to be in the same house with a Gentile. But he invites them in. He lodged them. That's a violation of the law, but nevertheless, he's learned his lesson. And the next day, he began to travel with several Hebrews and these Gentile men to meet Cornelius. Why Hebrews? Peter is going out into uncharted territory. He's going with Gentiles. He knows God is with him. But he wants to bring some Jews along as witnesses. So if anything unusual happens here, he's got some witnesses. So he knows something is up. So God used the circumstantial evidences of visions, and we'll talk about that in the application. Coincidences, the coincidence of Peter at the same time getting the vision, these men arriving at the gate, the coincidences there, and of him getting a vision and Cornelius getting the vision and hearing about it. Too many coincidences there. Past precedents. Remember the threefold directive of the Lord. What God has cleansed, called now that I'm... Threefold correction. That's something that Peter knows well about because of the Lord's past dealings with him. Of the Lord's dealings. And multiple witnesses. Multiple witnesses. You've got three men here at the gate. You've got Cornelius. You've got Peter. To direct Cornelius and Peter to meet one another that Peter might evangelize Cornelius. And we're going to see that when he actually goes into his house, he says, the Lord has shown me that God has people under every kind of category who revere him, and we need to respect that. So in application, we must not rely on subjectively interpreted dreams or visions as they can give errant guidance. So any dream or vision must fully align with Scripture for us even to heed it. I did have a vision. It's only the only time I've ever had it in my life, when the Lord called me into the ministry. It was in October of 1969. My father was there. He didn't witness the vision, but he witnessed something unusual. He knew something was going on. But that vision... In it, there was a signal that I would actually end up in Epoch Church. I didn't recognize it at the time. One of the signals was a glass globe or a fiberglass globe with the continents etched on it. The only globe like that that I've ever seen was one that Dr. Pat Kate sent to me from Egypt, and it's in my office. It's a paperweight. It sits on a stool, and it's in my office, and... we're actually having ministry that reaches out to the world through the internet, and the internet is the information is typed there in my office. I've had it in my office years before I recognized that it fulfilled that. But anyway, so I'm very hesitant about visions because you can get into real subjective territory here, and it can be really dangerous. But this happened as I was actually looking at 1 Samuel 15:22, and my eyes were glued to that verse. I couldn't turn my eyes away from it. I could tell the Lord was at work. It was like someone had taken a magnifying glass and drawn it up from that verse. This whole thing happened as I was focusing on the Word. And to me, that was a signal that the Lord was going to be leading me in the future through His Word. But we'll talk about that later. So any dream or vision must fully align with Scripture for us to heed it. I'm not prepared to say that God cannot lead through a vision or for a dream. But that would be highly unusual. At the time, I was headed in 180 degrees opposite the direction God wanted me. So I needed to get hit over the head, and He did. He did it with that. However, God today often uses coincidences, past precedents, and multiple witnesses to lead us. There are oodles of evidences that God uses this. I can also think of Acts chapter 16, where Paul the Apostle and the men with him had tried to go into Bithynia, the Holy Spirit wouldn't allow them. He tried to go into Asia, the Lord wouldn't let them. They came down to the seacoast, and then they got a vision saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. If you draw a line from Antioch of Syria right up to Troas, where they were, and keep that line going and extended, in a westerly by northwesterly direction, it actually crosses right into Macedonia. So just keep going in the direction that I've been leading you all along. So that's a coincidence. and past precedents. Notice the past precedents all the way from Antioch of Assyria up to Troas, and then, you know, continuing on. The Lord is great on holding us to past precedents. And then multiple witnesses. We've had this occur many times in Nepog Church. Someone will get up and do a children's conversation. It happens to match a Sunday school class, or it happens to match the message. And sometimes all three of them, the Sunday school class that you teach, the children's conversation, the pastor's message, and no three of those three people did not get together and come up with the point. But that has happened many times in our church, and that's often a signal from the Lord that he really wants to pay attention to that passage. So those are things that we really should be taking care of. I've got an illustration here. I've got some tie-downs, some tie-downs that go on truck tarps, and they're now on the trash can out there. Luke and I were talking about that today. I provided those, but I didn't buy them. About 20 to 25 years ago, I was walking a lot along Route 8, Route 4, between Torrington and Harwinton. I'd go out there, and I'd see one of these tie downs, and I'd pick it up. And I picked up about five of them. Okay, two of them are on my trash can at home. The other three are these. So I didn't buy them. They were donated by truckers, okay, somewhere, years ago. And many times I've gone through my garage and I've seen these hanging up, and I'm thinking, Don, why are you holding junk like this? You know better than this. Haven't used this for decades. But I just felt, you know, they're too valuable. Don't want to let them go. So they've been hanging there all these years. Now we can let them go. There's a good use for them. And you can save your strap at home. These things, they're not mine. We just picked them up off the road. But to me, that's a coincidence. The fact that, why would I keep these things? Many times I've asked myself, why are you keeping these things? And now there's a use for it. Little did we know that the Lord is going to use them for keeping the garbage can shut, so hopefully the bears won't get in it. But, God thinks of everything. And this is long before bears became a problem. When we got the straps, they've been there a long time. But little things like this are signals from the Lord of his provision, his watch care. So that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to pay attention mainly to coincidences, mainly to past precedents, and mainly to multiple witnesses. If God ever leads you in a dream or in a vision, it's got to be something that is intensely biblical. If it isn't, look out. So don't just follow dreams. Don't just follow visions. If there's a question at all, don't go there.